All right, Numbers chapter 10, verse number 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. He said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. He said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou wilt go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Amen. Verse 29. Amen. I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Would you stretch your right hands this way? Ask the Lord to help us here. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. I know, O Lord, that we need your touch. Father, I pray that you would anoint our words, that you would anoint our thoughts. God, that you'd help us this evening, Lord, to preach and to encourage this people, Lord, on their journey toward heaven. Lord, take me, Lord, and preach to me. I've got an outline, a few things scribbled down up here, Lord, but I pray for the leadership of the Spirit, that you would lead me, Lord, and that you would help me, Lord, to deliver my soul to this people. We'll give you praise and glory for everything that is accomplished in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And the church said, Amen. Hallelujah. I want to preach on tonight, come and we will do thee good. Amen. Come and we will do thee good. There's a little conflict on who Hobab was. Some think that Hobab, through their studying, is actually Jethro, which was Moses' father-in-law. And then there are others that feel that that Hobab was his brother-in-law. I'll let you decide that. Amen. But anyway, this individual Hobab, Israel was getting ready to go in to Canaan. And Moses, whoever this was, it was a family member, and he was bidding them to come with Israel. And as God blessed Israel, Moses was going to bless them. He said, come with us, and we will show thee good. We will do thee good. Amen. And we live in such a, it's already been mentioned, and I tried not to get on my thoughts. Brother Bobby was kind of on my line of thinking here tonight. But we live in a society that seems to be drawn to the sensual. It seems to be drawn to the worldly. It seems to be drawn to that which is base, to that which is really despicable. And that's the heart of man. In the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl, there is a base nature. There is a depravity in the heart of man, and it's easier for man to be drawn to that which is, amen, bad, and that which is unwholesome, and that which is unholy, than it is for someone to be drawn to that which is good. Are you hearing me? And we live in a society, amen, that is drawn to that which is bad, and constantly bombarding the ear gate and the eye gate through the radio and through the newspaper. Amen. We are bombarded with bad news. We are bombarded with gloom. We are bombarded with dread. Job said that the dread, amen, is the sound of dread is always in the ears of the wicked. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of bad news in our land. His brother Bobby was speaking of that bad news about the commandments. And if you're a real child of God, serving the Lord with all of your heart, it ought to grieve your heart. Amen. When a nation that was built upon the principles and the foundations, amen, of the Bible. That's why they left England, to have freedom of religion. And brother, it ought to grieve your heart, but constantly we hear the gloom and the dread and the bad news, and it seems that people really like to hear that. But in verse 29, we find them saying, in verse 29, and Moses said to Hobab, amen, the son of Rahel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. Can I say to you tonight that we are pilgrims and strangers in search of a city? You and I are going to a land which was promised to us in John chapter 14 when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. But we are journeying unto the place which He will give to us in the last. Our inheritance, our reward, our treasure. But on our way tonight, heaven, there are many foes to cast out. We have base lusts that we battle with, evil passions within our bosom, besetting sins that are always trying to trip us up, hounding habits that some wrestle with. Even in order, these things have to be conquered before we can obtain perfection. I know that I'm not preaching to one perfect individual. That's why I've got a job, if you will, to perfect the saints. But we are all striving for perfection. And God has assured us the victory that one day we shall be perfect. Amen. When we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We have the assurance of victory. He said, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. He talked about a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He said, the exceeding great and precious promises are given unto us, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. I don't know about you. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. I'm glad I left Egypt, its leeks and its onions behind me. Let me tell you something. Amen. You've got to say goodbye to Pharaoh. You've got to say goodbye to Egypt. And I want to tell you, you've got to take every hoof, every ambition, every desire, amen, and give it to the Lord totally. I'm on a journey toward heaven. Moses, though he was getting ready to go to where the Lord had promised them, he went to Hobab and said, come thou with us. To his brother-in-law, let's say, a family member, he said, come thou with us. And I want to tell you, the true child of God that's on their way to heaven tonight, you're interested in your loved ones going with you, aren't you? Even you ought to call them every week and say, come and go with us. They've got a choice, amen, to refuse you. Amen. But oh, I want to tell you, when we're on this road to heaven, we don't want to travel alone. We want to invite everybody and anybody that we can. But we're living in a day and living in a society. I feel that the greatest enemy of the American people is the media. That's right. They shape the temper. They are the thermostat, amen, that controls the temperature in America. Are you hearing me? In a world, amen, that has become sharply critical of the church. In a world that has become critical of Christ. In a world that has become critical of
Christianity. Amen, brother. I want to tell you, I still am in love with the church. I still believe in the church. I still believe in its message. I still believe in the Bible. I still believe in the Holy Ghost. I still believe in old time worship. I still believe in heaven, church. Are you hearing me? I know the world is criticizing the church, but I'll tell you what we need. We need to tell the world, come and go with us to our Father's house. Come to the house of God. There's joy. Come to the house of God. There's peace. Come to the house of God. They give you victory over the sin that's bringing you down. I'm telling you, we need to tell the world, let us show thee good. Because all the media gives them is the bad. You hearing me? I'm not a Jimmy Swaggart fan. By no shape, form, or fashion. But wouldn't you think that after all these years, amen, they'd leave him alone. Anytime, amen, they can criticize the church. Anytime they can bust one of these televangelists, amen, mishandling money and funds, or even get a story on them. Amen, they're trying to take away the goodness that the church has been to the world. They're trying to get the world to doubt. Amen, the church, are you hearing me? And I know tonight that the church, Brother Kurt, stands in need of criticism. I'm not saying that the church of the living God is without its faults. I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about willful sin. But there are things, amen, that can be criticized. Probably in every church. Are you hearing me? I know that the church is just an institution that is made up with imperfect humans. And humans that have shortcomings. Humans that are susceptible, amen, to failure. Humans that have faulty lives. And listen to me. No true pastor is satisfied with what his church is. You hearing me? I'm not satisfied with what our church is. I'll never be satisfied. Amen. That board, amen, doesn't bother a lot of people. Sister Julie said I needed to do something with it today. And I probably need to listen to her words of wisdom. Amen. But I'm not satisfied with 52. I'm not really even satisfied with 62. I'm not even satisfied with 98. Are you hearing me? And amen. And through the years, I've kept record of our Sundays. And we started out averaging in the 70s. And then in the 60s. And this month, we're averaging 51. I'm not satisfied with that. You may be satisfied with that. And I know, amen, that the church stands in need of criticism. I know that we're going through, amen, fire and wind and storm and rain. But I want to tell you something. I still believe in Sterlington Holiness Tabernacle. I still believe God's hand is upon us. I still believe He wants to fill this place with His glory. I still believe He wants your loved ones to come and see. And let us show them good. Let us show them the love of God. Let us show them the forgiveness of God. Somebody in this place, raise your hands and say, Lord, help us to show an unbelieving world good. No true pastor is satisfied with what his church is. But no one points out its faults better than its members. Are you hearing me? You know our faults. We've been together for years now. We know the faults of each other pretty well. Thank God a love covereth a lot. Are you hearing me? But sometimes, hallelujah, I think that we who love the church the most are its severest critics. We don't mean it in a bad way. We love the church. That's why we are critical when things are not going as they should. And let me say, not only the members, amen, can point out the faults, but as a pastor, amen, there are plenty of faults that I can point out. You probably have points that you can point out on me. But listen, because of our acute awareness, if we're not careful, we often magnify our failures. We often magnify our shortcomings. We often magnify, our faults over our achievements. Are you hearing me? And so many times, amen, if we're not careful, instead of showing them good, amen, we show them our worst side when they need so desperately to see the best side and the right side. Come on here. I want to tell you, friend, I want to show Sterlington, amen, good. I want to show them the love of God. I want to show them that Jesus still saves. Are you hearing me today? Oh, I wish I could preach. Amen. You know, as well as I do, we hear messages over and over again. And I'm probably guilty of it. That points out our faults, our lack of prayer, our lack of fasting, our lack of Bible reading, our lack of evangelism. You hearing me? But I'm wanting to turn the record over. And I want you to come and go with me to the Father's house. Because that world out there ain't needing to see our faults. They need to see what's right with us. I preached on that some time ago, but I'm not going to preach that necessarily today. I'm telling you, even come and go with us to the house of God. Come on now. We need to go to our friends, our loved ones, Glenda, your mama Julie, Terry and Shannon, Clyde and Dana, even your family, your biological family, Spud, that is lost. Come on here, Quincy, Sister Stacy. We're needing to show them that what is good. I want to tell you, we know our faults. We're critical of our faults. But I want to tell you, when we bring them to the house of God, when they're here, we don't want to show them the bad side. We want to show them the bright side. Are you hearing me? We want to show them the right side. I'm trying, amen, to preach to you here. I love the house of God. Amen, the house of God. I did. Amen, just as a little baby. Amen, a two-year-old boy. Amen, I went to church 1 year without missing a Sunday. Amen, my grandpa Boyd picked me up. I wanted to be in church, even at a young age. That might have been when God seen me down in Sunday school. Mom and Dad weren't saved, but he might have looked down there as his eyes were searching to and fro the earth. It said that young boy right there, one day, with all of his faults, with all of his folly, amen, I'm going to shape him. I am the potter, and he is the clay. Are you hearing me? I love the house of God, church. It's where I was saved. It's where I was sanctified. It's where I was baptized with the Holy Ghost. I got married in the church. I got ordained in the church. I got called to preach in the church. And the best times of my life have been in the church, feeling the presence and the glory of God. Glory to God. I know the faults. There are a lot of things I know that go on out there among the holiness movement that I don't mention. Amen. Here. Are you hearing me? Because I want you to see the best. I'm not ignorant. Amen. That the holiness people don't have their faults. Are you hearing me? They do. They're not impeccable. I'm just trying to preach to you. But I say, let's tell them come and let us go to the house of God. My God, when we bring sinners to the house of God, so many churches they come to, this brother can't shake hands with that brother. This sister can't shake hands with that sister. There's envy and strife and, amen, fighting spirits in the church. Are you hearing me? Amen. And they come looking to seek good, and all they see is carnality. All they see is envy and strife. But I tell you, when they come to Sterlington, I pray that they see the love of God, that peace that comes from above, that love that is first peaceable and tender and patient. My God, when they come, they need to see the love of God. When they come to the house of God, they need to know that we serve a living Savior. You hearing me? There's so many people that won't go to church today. Come on now. Listen to me. People, Baptist folks, are having to change their way of worship. And it's not true worship. It's not in the beauty of holiness. They got music that tantalizes the flesh. Are you hearing me? That appeals to the younger generation. It's excitement. It may be enthusiastic, but it's not true worship. Are you hearing me? Amen. But traditional Baptist churches are having to go to a contemporary style of worship. Amen. Because people are tired of coming to a church that is dead. Are you hearing me? Amen. And if they don't get the true Spirit of God, that excitement after a while will wear off. And I don't want to be critical, amen, about the faults, but I want to tell you, I'm trying to bring out a point here. But when they come to Sterlington or in His tabernacle, I pray that they can feel unity. I pray that every singer, when you come to the house of God, don't come half-hearted. I might not call you, amen, every service. I might not call you in a month, hallelujah. All glory to God. It ain't because I don't have confidence in nobody. Amen, I just try to do what I feel sometimes. But I want to tell you, when they come, amen, let them hear somebody, amen, singing the Lord's song in the midst of a gloomy world. Somebody singing the Lord's song when all the world is here in dread and the rumors of war. Amen. In war in Iraq. Amen. In gay bishops. Amen. In the Episcopal Church. Amen. Abortion at an all-time high. Gambling epidemics. I say when they come to church, let them hear something good. I say let them hear that Jesus is still on the throne. Would you lift your hands and give Him a praise? You see, we live in a society that discredits the Bible. It denies its inspiration. We live in a wicked, sensual, secular society that's rewriting history. We live in a church world that rejects the deity of Christ. Amen. Intellectualism has made sport of the church. So the church, to keep up with the world, amen, jumped off, amen, the humble, amen, anointing of the Holy Ghost, and moved up and tried to set up on the throne of intellectualism and impress the politicians with our brains. Impress them with what we know. But I'm telling you, what we know is not going to get the job done. Amen. It's what we are doing with what we know. Somebody help me. Silver tongue orators, amen, behind pulpits have pulled down the altar. They've ridiculed old time worship. And it seems that our day is gloomy. It seems like it's bad news. It seems like it's the sound of dread. But it was that way for the early church too. We think back at the early church and we preach them on a pinnacle that was so high. And they were great men. But don't think that the early church didn't have its problems. It didn't have its faults. It didn't have its failures. Amen. Amen. Judas turned traitor. Peter, amen, denied the Lord. Are you hearing me? Amen. Christ was hung on a cross, thrust through His side with a spear. Amen. His hands and His feet nailed. Are you hearing me? Stephen was stoned. Amen. There was immorality in the church of Corinth. But praise God, Paul was shipwrecked and stoned and hungered and in fastings often. But I want to tell you, even though there was bad times, times, the church of the living God still rolled on. And it's still rolling on today. I want to tell you something, church. We may be living in bad times. There may be preachers falling and people backsliding. But I want to tell you, the church is going to roll on. It's always in trouble. It's always in trial. But it's never stopped. Hallelujah! They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. That's what they did on the day of Pentecost. They soared with eagles' wings. Peter preached, 3,000 were saved. But after a while, amen, infidels and all the agnostics and all the false begin to wear on the church. And they weren't soaring with eagles. They were only running. But in the day in which we're living, fighting the critics, and most of the critics are in liberal, amen, churches, secular churches. I say that word loosely. It's church. And I'm not being critical of the church. I'm being critical of the professing church, that Babylonian whore, hallelujah, that's taken the world over. Are you hearing me? Amen. And the church is living in a day when the Bible's being thrown out and the commandments are being thrown out. But I want to tell you, though, we are just walking. We shall not faint. We're walking through the fire. We are walking through the storm. We are walking through the rain. We're still rolling on. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, I still believe in the message of the church. I still believe Jesus is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Brother Bridges, this year at Brother Mike Brewer's meeting, amen, he preached about the hour of darkness. He talked about it being a dark hour, a devil's hour, a demon's hour, D-Day, if you will. Are you hearing me? Jesus committed himself over to the powers of darkness. But when powers of darkness were at full force, come on now, and Peter tried to defend him with the sword, he cut off Malchus's ear. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord, my God. And what did Jesus do? He reached down in that hour of darkness, and he picked up Malchus's ear, and he put it back on him. Come on now, save Peter from getting in a lot of trouble. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. It may be a dark hour, Brother Bridges said, but he said, Jesus still heals. Come on now. It may be a dark hour, but Jesus still heals. Sister Teets is back there worshiping the Lord. Amen. God, miraculously, I feel like brought her off a seemingly a deathbed. And if he healed Sister Teets, I believe he still can heal Sister Pat. I know it's a dark hour. I know the world doesn't have faith. I know the world hates the church and is critical of the church. But I still believe this black book, hallelujah, this sin-killing, amen, devil-chasing, revival-bringing, amen, Holy Ghost-anointed, Holy Ghost-inspired, inerrant Bible is still able, amen, to penetrate, amen, the chains of darkness. It's able to set the captives free. I'm telling you, I believe the church has still got what it takes for the world. Woo! Brother Bridges said, on that cross, he took that thief to paradise in that dark hour when everybody else was buffeting him and everybody else was spitting on him, mocking him and jeering. Only that thief said, Lord. Lord, in Brother Bridges said, in that dark hour, it proves that Jesus can still save. In this hour of Harry Potter, in this hour of Pokemon, in this hour of Matrix, in this hour of Lord of the Rings, in this hour of this fascination with the demonic and the devilish, I'm telling you, Jesus is still able to save. He's still able to set the captive free. I'm telling you, I believe in the church because I believe in Jesus, and he's the head of the church, and he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is not a failure, because back of the church is the guarantee. And I just quoted you, upon this rock, I shall build my church. You know, sometimes we act like we're trying to preserve, amen, this Pentecostal fire from the winds of the world. But I want to tell you, the church is in stronger hands than ours. Oh, the world may be trying to blow out the fire, but they can't, because the church is in Christ. He is the head of the church. We are his body. He is a consuming fire. Are you hearing me? They can blow. They can try to extinguish. They can try to quench it. They can try to grieve it. But the church of the living God is still going to be a witness in this hour. Go with us, and we will show you good. How would you like to be without Christ, and without God, and without hope in this world? How would you like to not know anything about a living Savior? A price that was paid for redemption, blood that cleanses from all sin. And you heard continually the dread and the bad news. War. Rumors of war. Earthquake. Wouldn't you want someone to come up to you? Yes, they come. With us. And we will show thee good. Come with us, harlot. We'll bring you to an altar with the blood of Jesus. We deliver you from your lust and give you a new hope. Oh, yes, he can do it. There's a lady in Fairland that I'm not going to mention her and her past. Hey, been good friends with Shay. Hey, been friends of ours, her and her husband. Hallelujah. Before she got saved, she was a lady of the night in Houston. Are you hearing me? She sold herself. She was as low could be, but she found Jesus. Come on now. Somebody in that old holy roller church, amen, said, come, we will show thee good. Sins left you destitute. Oh, I'm trying to preach to you. Amen. Wouldn't you, if you were a drunkard? Amen, Brother Junior, wouldn't you like somebody to come and knock on your door, and you open the door, and it'd be a smiling preacher saying, come down to the tabernacle, and we will show thee good. I'll tell you, there's a world out there that's filled with gloom and dread. All they hear is bad news. They need somebody to tell them there's good news in Sterlington. There's good news at the tabernacle. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to preach myself happy. I want to tell you, wouldn't you want somebody to tell you? Come, let us show thee good. Brother Scott, some of you went to the campus. Hallelujah. Is life worth living? You know there are people that all they hear every day is bad news. That's the million-dollar question. That's the world's question. Is life worth living? Could you imagine all the struggles and all the toil? Do
you know sinners go through the same things you do, but they don't have anybody to turn to. Oh, Lord God, with all the confusion that's in the world, all the evolution, all the secular humanism, all the situational ethics, amen, if they teach them there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no judgment, there's nothing absolute, amen, we come from monkeys, there's no future, there's no eternal punishment, they're confused, why in the world live, there's nothing to live for, there's, oh, come on now, I want to tell you, there is something to live for. That's what we need to get to them and tell them. Come with us. We will show thee good. Come with us. We'll tell you there is a future. There is a hope. There is a heaven. Oh, glory be to God. I wish somebody would help me tonight. I'm trying to draw. Hallelujah. Is life worth living? Yes, it's worth living. Amen. Come. We're on a journey. We're going to the land God promised us. We want you to go with us. Come and go with us to our Father's house. In our Father's house are many mansions.
I need to hurry. Is life worth living? Nobody has a better answer for that question than the church that is preaching the gospel. This gospel changes a desert into a garden, a prison into a palace. Come on now. Oh, I wish somebody would say amen. The world is without hope. And without God, let's show Him good. The church of the living God is not to be vanquished. We're to be victorious. Are you hearing me? And if the world is taken, the church is taken out of the world has nothing left but doom. Has nothing left but despair. Without the hope of Christ, amen, they are of all men most miserable. Oh God, amen. Can't you find a drunkard to tell him, come with me? Let us show you good. That bottle took your job. It took your family. It took your health. Come. Come. I don't have hope. Has anybody heard that? Doesn't live with. Say, come. Come on, hold back. Come and go with me to my Father. Come and go with me to my Father. Come and go with me to my Father. This is all I was doing to help you bear up through the years. There's a living Savior, the Father God. Oh, hallelujah. There's brothers and sisters that have carried at times when you couldn't walk yourself. Woo! Glory be to Jesus! I wish somebody. Amen. I'm glad somebody told me about Jesus. I'm glad they didn't leave me in the ditch. Come on, there's a lot of people that have passed me by before, but there was a few that come and got down in the mud, got down where I was beat and bruised and broken, and said, come on, go with me. I'll show you good. Jesus is still a healer. He's still a restorer. He's still the lifter up of your head. Struggle of life will soon be over. Is anybody here tired of the struggle of life? Huh? Is there anybody here tired of wrestling? Is there anybody here tired of striving? Is there anybody here tired of fighting? Brother Webster preached to us some time ago, the greatest foe in life. He read there in Romans chapter number 8. Now I'm getting ready to close. Too long. Romans chapter 8. I'm getting ready to
Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, that's life. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sore, that's life. Nay, in all these things we were made more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you tired of the struggles of life? Do you feel like you're about to break? Do you feel like you're about to bend? I want to tell you, nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ. Keep your hand in his hand. He'll pull you all the way through.
Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. Come on, Sister Boyd. Life has been so bad. The storm has been so great. Maybe you feel like the men in Acts with Paul. Some on broken pieces of the ship. Some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And it came to pass, they all escaped safe to land. Boards, broken pieces. And it came to pass that they all escaped safe unto land. Oh, come on here. Don't quit me yet. Don't quit me yet. Don't quit me. Listen to me. In the middle of boards and broken pieces and safety on the shore, the Bible said, and it came to pass. You may be on a broken board tonight. You may be on broken pieces tonight. But I'm like that preacher said, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? And it came to pass. It came to pass. Why is that your favorite verse? He said, because every time I read it, it tells me it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. You may be on a broken board. You might be on a broken piece of the ship. Hallelujah, but it's going to come to pass. One day, it's going to bring you to the sweet shores of deliverance. Hallelujah. Your feet are going to touch down in Zion. You'll be through with trouble. You'll be through with trial. You'll be through with difficulty. And you'll look back and say, he brought it through the storm. He brought it through the wind. He brought it through the rain. I want to tell you, the struggle may be great, but hang on to that broken piece. It's going to come to pass. It's taking you to glory. You'll step on the other side. You'll pick up that broken piece and say, this is my souvenir from the storm. You kept me, Lord. You were with me all the way. Your presence was with me. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you, you can take that broken piece and go to the source of glory and hold it up as a souvenir. Somebody, amen, needs to hang on. Somebody needs to keep on treading water. Somebody needs to say, Lord, it's going to come to pass. I don't know how. I don't know where. I know, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Somebody in this church house, give him praise and give him glory. Over there, when at last our earthly shoes are removed and our feet
are placed down in the green grass of glory. The peril, the battle, the struggle, the conflict, the devil, sin, amen, is behind us, and before us is eternity, the glory of God, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. I want to tell you, just as soon as my feet touch Zion, just as soon as I get there, I'm going to lay down my heavy burden. I'm going to shout, oh, hallelujah. Somebody in this place needs to rejoice. God's in the house. Could you worship God? That sister voice begins to sing. I wish you'd let go and rejoice that the Lord on gold. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you.